And let's pray and begin to study the word. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam asher kidshenu b'mitzvotav v'tzivanu la'asok b'divrei Torah. Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who has sanctified us with your commandments and commanded us to engross ourselves in the words of Torah. Amen. If you have your Bibles, I would like to see them. I've got several. Let's see, everybody at once. If you got two, if you got a digital Bible, hold that up. Good news, we will have free Wi-Fi in the new sanctuary. And so if you have a digital Bible, but you don't have a 3G or 4G plan, you will be able to use your device in the new sanctuary. How many of you have a Bible like that? Great. Okay. It will be better for you. Open your Bible or touch your Bible. Touch your Bible to Luke chapter 2. We're going to have to change all of our terminology these days. Luke chapter 2, I want to read to you a few verses, starting in verse 1. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to his own town to register. Verse 4, so Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea. Now, since this week's Torah portion is on another Joseph, let me say, this is Joseph who's married or soon to be married to Miriam, the mother of Yeshua. Okay, different Joseph. So Joseph went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea to Bethlehem. How do you say Bethlehem in Hebrew? Bethlehem, what does it mean? That's good. The town of David. How do you say David in Hebrew?
David.
David. That's good. That's an easy one. It's a gimme. But what does David mean?
Beloved.
Because he belonged to the house and the line of David. Verse 5, you went there to register with Miriam. Your Bible, does it have Miriam in it? How many have Miriam? How many have another name? Mary. How many have Mary? Mary's a good name. My grandmother from St. Petersburg, Russia, was named Maria, but when she came to America, she was Mary, but her Hebrew name was Miriam. So this is the exact same name as the sister of Moses, Miriam. Say Miriam with me.
Miriam.
Good. And she was pledged to be married to him or betrothed to Joseph, and she was expecting a child. That's a little uh-oh. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in clothes and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were, what does your Bible say?
Terrified.
Frightened. But the angel said to them, do not be afraid. Now let's just practice. Turn to the person sitting next to you and say, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is HaMashiach Adonai, Messiah the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger. Verse 13, suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel. Now this moment, I think, inspired all Christmas pageants. Because you have one angel, great awe, and then whoosh, out of nowhere appears a whole host, a heavenly host, that join together praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. I want you to join with me and the angels who praise God in Bethlehem. Will you just say after me, glory to God in the highest?
And on earth, peace.
Goodwill toward men.
Goodwill toward men.
That is what that host was declaring and it was memorable. And as we are entering into this holiday weekend, we need to remember this, because they came bringing good news or bad news. They bring good news. And they said, don't be afraid, we've got good news. And then they said, a Savior has been born. A Redeemer has been born to you. And what is he to be called in Hebrew? HaMashiach, the Messiah, Adonai. HaMashiach Adonai, the Anointed One, the Lord. Very important to understand that we are here gathering to worship the one true God, the God of Israel, and his Messiah. Now, last year, Christmas came at the same time that we were reading Parshat Shemot. What's the English name of Shemot? Exodus. Very good. How many of you wanted to say that? You were just shy. Parshat Shemot, which is the first reading from the book of Exodus. So we were reading, it was on Christmas Eve, right, and Christmas Day, and it was on the Shabbat when you read about the birth of Moses. And if I remember right, this happens once every 70 years or so. It was, I think, 73 years since it had happened before. And it was a wonderful, wonderful time for us. We were reading different scriptures about the birth of two Jewish boys, Moses and Jesus. And what are their Hebrew names? Moshe and Yeshua. Now, this year, we're not reading about Moses yet. Christmas comes at the same time as the reading of Parshat Miketz. So we're reading different scriptures, again, about two Jews, now two Jewish men, whose brothers don't recognize them. One is named Joseph, and the other Jesus. Now, how would you say that in Hebrew? Yosef and Yeshua. That's right. Now, in the Torah reading, we see that Joseph, now this is Joseph, the son of Jacob. Very good. Very good. Who was that young voice who said Jacob? Okay, I've got chocolate for you. Gelt for the right answer. Didn't you want some? Yes, he did. Congratulations. This is Joseph, the son of Jacob, the son of Israel, the one who was sold by his brothers into slavery. And we see that Joseph has risen to a position of great significance among foreigners. What foreign country was he living in?
Egypt.
In Egypt. And in Hebrew? Mitzrayim. How many people know Egypt? Egypt. Yeah, it's a word you've heard before. Mitzrayim. Okay, say that with Mitzrayim. It means the narrow place or straight. It's how the Jews think of being in Egypt, in a tight spot. And Joseph's Jewish brothers have not yet recognized that he also has significance for them. They sold him into slavery. He's long gone. They've forgotten about him. They have rewritten history. And you know, when you tell yourself, when you tell other people lies, you start believing the lies yourself. How many of you are aware of that process? When you start rewriting history, you begin to think that your new version is really the truth. You know why? Because people hate to admit that they're liars. People hate to admit that they embellish the truth or distort the truth. And so we would rather convince ourselves of things that are not true than know that we're believing lies. It's a dangerous thing, but it's a common thing. We've all had that experience. We've all succumbed to it at different times. Joseph's brothers have all but forgotten him. But a famine comes to their land, and the sons of Israel go down to Egypt to buy food. You know the story, I think. And it's a necessity that forces them to go there and that actually sets the stage for the reconnection. Joseph is not pursuing them. They're not pursuing him. Who's doing the organizing of it all? The Lord. Later, Joseph, next week we'll read this, Joseph will declare that it was the Lord who put everything together. When you're in the midst of trouble And when people have rejected you and are still rejecting you and they still don't like you, God may be in it. He may be at work preparing someone for a great deliverance. We'll talk about that next week. Now, these brothers weren't looking to connect with their long-lost brother. They'd forgotten him, and they did not even know that it was Joseph who was prime minister in Egypt. My guess is if they knew it was Joseph, they would have gone north. They would have gotten in a boat, crossed the Mediterranean looking for food. They would have done anything but go down to Egypt. You know what I'm talking about. Have you ever crossed the street so you could avoid someone? Have you ever acted like you didn't see someone? Who's done that? Okay, we all have. All hands up. Okay, I don't know what it is about you guys, but you're being honest tonight. Sometimes I'm the only one who admits to these things. And I think a few of you say, I don't know about this rabbi. He is always getting himself in trouble and doing things that I would never do. Or I'd never admit that I do. So congratulations for being honest tonight. Makes me feel good. So the brothers come down and they don't know it's Joseph who is prime minister in Egypt and that he controls the grain which they're seeking to buy. Joseph knows them, but they don't know him. Now this weekend, we are considering another Jewish man who's risen to a place of great significance and influence among foreigners, the nations of the world. And many of his Jewish brothers have not yet recognized that he also has significance for them. And in this way, and in many other ways, he is like Joseph. There's one more thing that we must say about this Jewish man, Yeshua, Jesus. The Jewish people are still wondering about him, still asking questions, still saying, who is he? What does he mean to us? When Sandy and I were working to prepare for a festival with Hero Israel Ministries in Budapest years ago, I got a call from leaders of the Jewish community who said I needed to be in their office the next morning or there would be big trouble. And so I and a friend went there and we sat among the leading rabbis and the chiefs among the Jewish leaders in the city, and they told us that we may not do a Messianic Jewish festival for a lot of reasons. And they said, if you do this, we will stop you. And they were serious. And I remember saying, well, you might be able to stop us, but you can't stop the Jewish people from asking questions and from being interested in the Jewish people. And that's the only reason why we're here sitting with you today. Because you know that's true. If it weren't true, you wouldn't even have to talk to us. If Jewish people were not interested in questions about Yeshua, we would be irrelevant. And what we're doing would not matter at all to you. I said, so let's be honest with each other. You're concerned because so many Jewish people are interested in Yeshua. We need to learn how to speak plainly and simply, not belligerently, but to be honest and to understand situations clearly. The Jewish people are still wondering about Yeshua and asking, who is he and what does he mean to us? And no one can stop the Jewish people from asking such questions about Yeshua. And that's why so many books, magazine articles, web pages are being written right now by Jews who are writing about Yeshua. Jewish professors are now working in Christian seminaries. They're not Messianic Jews, Rabbinic Jews, Orthodox Jews, Conservative Jews, Reformed Jews. And they're teaching in Christian seminaries about the Jewishness of Yeshua. You know why? They want to make sure the next generation of Christian leaders knows that Jesus is a Jew. They want believers to know that. Now, who would have imagined that God would be able to put that in the hearts of so many Jewish teachers? They want Jews to know this. They're writing They're teaching about the Jewishness of Yeshua, about the Jewishness of the early believers, about the Jewishness of the New Testament, because they have come to understand that the best perspective on what the apostles wrote, the New Testament, and on what Messiah did, only can be obtained when you see the Jewishness of Yeshua. If you strip away that Jewishness, you engage in what I like to call identity fraud. Amen. And you misrepresent, you steal the true identity of the Messiah away from him, and you take away who he really is. Amen. Well, this weekend we're also celebrating Hanukkah, the festival of lights. What does Hanukkah mean in English? Dedication. And it, you know, it's interesting. You all have, you know, like good scores on some words, bad scores on others. You're going to have to work at this. I encourage you, get the podcast, you know, download it, listen to it, whatever you have to do, write notes, and learn all these words. Hanukkah, the Festival of Lights, is a time to remember the Maccabees who fought for Jewish freedom to worship God in a Jewish way. And we remember the joy and the victory of the rededication of the temple of God when it was liberated from Syrian Greek hands and cleansed of the stain of idolatry. Do you remember that when the Syrian Greeks had control of the temple, it was dedicated to Zeus, not Hashem? And we remember the miracle of the temple menorah burning for 8 days, even though the supply of specially prepared oil should have lasted only for one day. Now, if you need something amusing to do with your children, you can go to YouTube and watch Elmo give a Sesame Street lesson about the Book of Maccabees and Hanukkah. Wow. And it is amusing. As is fitting for Elmo, it's oversimplified, but it is a real treat. So I encourage you to do that. Well, it's fitting this weekend that we look at a Hanukkah text from the Gospel of John, and we're going to look only at one chapter, just a few verses. What chapter do we need to turn to? John 10. Okay, everybody who knew that, raise your hand. Okay, all the rest of you, no chocolate. Who said John 10 first? Was it the two of you or the one of you?
I don't know.
Okay. Okay, Susan. Okay. Mary, did you say it too?
I did. She said it first.
Okay, well, you can have little chocolates, but you get two. Okay. You can share. So there's a lesson from this. You should sit next to someone who knows the answers, so maybe they will share chocolate with you. John chapter 10, what verse do we want to look at? Verse 22. Verse 22. Let me read to you what it says. Now it was the feast of dedication in Jerusalem, and it was winter. We're going to practice this the way we would for memorization. Do you know how to memorize a scripture verse? It's pretty easy. You say the location of the verse, then you say the verse, then you say the location. So we're going to practice a little bit. So all you have to do is repeat after me. John 10:22. Now it was the feast of dedication in Jerusalem, and it was winter. John 10:22. Okay, that's really good. Okay, now, see if you can say it to the person sitting next to you without any practice other than what you had. Okay, now let's have a brave soul. Who can do it from memory just the way I said it? Okay.
John 10:22. It was the feast of dedication in Jerusalem, and it was winter.
Congratulations.
It's not quite Jewish.
Not every translation has it exactly this way. That's why I called it out to you, or we'd have the Tower of Babel here. and chaos. Okay, let's try it one more time. John 10:22. Now it was the Feast of Dedication in Jerusalem, and it was winter. John 10:22. Okay, sufganiyot for everyone. You know what sufganiyot are? They're jelly donuts. And it is the traditional Israeli food for Hanukkah. Millions and millions of sufganiyot are eaten during the 8 days of Hanukkah in Israel. Now, when we started serving jelly donuts here in Jacksonville, a lot of the Ashkenazi Jews said, "Why are you doing this?" Not knowing this is the custom in Israel. Now, just to help some of you along, I know they're not healthy. I understand that. And that's why we have munchkins filled with jelly, because they're little bite-sized, delicious, tasty morsels for you that will not do too much harm to you. But also, I have put on my Facebook page, DL Shalom is how you can find it on Facebook, I have put a great video news article from Israel on sufganiyot in modern Israel, showing the most beautiful donuts that you can possibly imagine, several minutes of close-ups and explanations, and even one example of a baker who is trying to make healthy sufganiyot by baking them and not frying them. Ooh. I don't know. A lot of people are saving up their fat grams for the fried stuff. But you can read about that and watch it at Facebook, DL Shalom. Well, back to John 10:22. The Feast of Dedication, Hanukkah, of course, means dedication. And it was winter, Hanukkah time. Let's just say that together. It was Hanukkah time. The New International Version, to its credit, has a footnote in the bottom that says, that is Hanukkah, where it says Feast of Dedication. Because in Hebrew, you know how you say Hanukkah? You say Chag Hanukkah, the Feast of Dedication. Chag is feast, and Hanukkah is dedication. And for some reason, the NIV translates it into English rather than gives the normal Hebrew English word for this. And many people don't even have a clue that this is Hanukkah. You know why? Because most people don't read footnotes. Now, I just ask myself, if it's in the footnote, why didn't they put it in the text? Why didn't they just say, it was Hanukkah time? Yeah! So if anybody here who's listening to our podcast is involved in the new edits of the NIV or the next one, would you change that for us? Thank you. Okay. Now, the Jewish scriptures, the Tanakh, do not mention Hanukkah, but the New Testament scriptures do. Why is Hanukkah not mentioned in the Tanakh? It hadn't happened yet. I need more chocolate so I can give it to you. Will you get it later? Okay. Take some big chocolate coins, some gelt, okay, and on me. The last book of the Tanakh, Malachi, is commonly dated around 420 before the Common Era, 4 centuries before the birth of Messiah. So the Tanakh was actually written before the time of the Maccabees. Now, why is Hanukkah in the New Testament? Because it had already happened, and as Brian Rose said, I could hear him, Yeshua was celebrating Hanukkah. You see, it was a national holiday celebrated by Yeshua and by the Jewish people of his day, and the writers of the New Testament wanted all of the readers to see a picture of normal Jewish life and the normal life of Yeshua and the believers. You see, they celebrated Hanukkah. Hanukkah was not a Torah-based holiday. It was a national tradition, a national historical holiday for the Jewish people. Let's think of some American national historical holidays. Fourth of July. What's another one?
Memorial Day.
Veterans Day.
Thanksgiving.
Labor Day. What's the next holiday after Christmas? Super Bowl. No, before the Super Bowl is New Year's Eve, right? The most dangerous holiday of the year to be on the road because of excess drinking. So it was a national tradition to celebrate Hanukkah. Yeshua participated in it. And this helps us understand something, that both the holidays of the Torah and the Tanakh are good, and national holidays and national traditions are also good. Do you see how they both fit in? Yeshua is giving us a living example that it's okay to celebrate national holidays. Is that all right with you? Yeah, with some of you. Some of you think, well, I joined the Messianic movement because I want to get away from all that pagan stuff. Well, I'm not talking about paganism. Don't worship trees. That's my advice, okay? And if you're tempted to, don't give in. However, this is a great time of the year to acknowledge the Jewish Messiah and to join in with the gentle spirit that comes over many people during this holiday season. Now, what question is Yeshua asked on Hanukkah? It's in John 10:23. He was in the temple area walking in Solomon's colonnade that would later become the Messianic Jewish section of the temple. Verse 24, and it says, some Jews gathered around Yeshua and they said, how long will you keep us in suspense? If you are HaMashiach, the Messiah, tell us clearly, tell us plainly. And Yeshua answered and he said, I did tell you, but you don't believe. Are you the Messiah? That's the central question. And the follow-up statement that went with it is, if so, tell us plainly. I think it is still a good idea to answer the question plainly, to answer it clearly. The other day I was having lunch with a Jewish man who wanted to talk about some spiritual things, and especially about Yeshua. And I said to him that as important as it is that Yeshua is the Messiah, it's even more important that he's Adonai. And you should have seen his face. And he said, you believe he was Adonai? I said, absolutely, I believe he was Adonai. Because we can only worship the one true God. And if he's not Adonai, we can't worship him. We could respect him, but we couldn't worship him. I want to be simple about it. Just like the angels were that day in Bethlehem. Turn back or forward or wherever you are in your Bible to Luke chapter 2, verse 10 and 11, and remember these words of the angels. Don't be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is HaMashiach Adonai, Messiah the Lord. Most of the Christian world this weekend is remembering something that happened among the Jewish people 2,000 years ago. Most of the Jewish world is remembering something that happened in Israel about 2,300, 2,200 years ago. We Messianics are remembering both. And we are prepared to say in the simplest of terms, Yeshua is not only HaMashiach, he's Adonai. He is the Lord. He is the Savior. And that's good news. And I want to encourage you to share good news with someone this weekend. And be on good behavior, too. I have to warn our congregation about this. When you are with family and friends who don't understand what you're doing, and you can get it from Jewish family, and you can get it from Christian family, too. Can you not? Is that true? And they will misunderstand. The Christian families will say, why did you become a Jew? The Jewish families will say, why did you stop being a Jew? And you'll have to explain yourself, but I encourage you, don't get into arguments. Don't raise your blood pressure or anyone else's. Be kind to each other, because remember what the angels said. Do you remember that? I bring you good news Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men. Goodwill to men. So exercise goodwill with your family. No matter what they say, show them love. And if you find yourself coming together in new ways and in strong ways, rejoice in the Lord and be glad. And understand this, just like Joseph, who was able to be used by God, even in the midst of family rejection and misunderstanding, you can be used by God too, to bring good news to someone. You may come into contact with someone who's in a hard place in difficult times. See if you can bring them good news. See if you can encourage them. See if you can help them to, like, stay in the battle and, you know, keep going and not give up. My prayer for you is that you will not only endure, you will endure with joy, and you'll pass that joy on to other people as they struggle through this life. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your favor. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for Hanukkah, and we thank you for saving our people Israel. And we thank you for the birth of Yeshua the Messiah. Thank you, Lord, for saving our people Israel. Fill us with your love, so that we could show love to all the people around us and bring your peace to people here on this earth and your goodwill to men. In Yeshua's name we pray. Amen. We want to close with Aaron's blessing, and then we're going to have some festivities with dreidel and sufganiyot, little sufganiyotchkas. Yivarechecha Adonai. V'yishmerecha. Ye'er Adonai panavelecha v'chunecha. Yisa Adonai panavelecha v'yasem lecha shalom. The Lord bless you and the Lord protect you. The Lord cause the light of his face to shine upon you. The Lord be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his face to you and give you his shalom in the name of Yeshua, the Prince of Peace, Sar Shalom, Yeshua HaMashiach Adonai. Amen. Amen. Shabbat shalom, Chanukah Sameach.